Welcome back to Two-Way Talk here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely, without question, the voice of the community. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
Kara Williams, it has been a joy to have you back.
I'm glad to be here.
I am happy that you took time that you needed.
Yes.
And I kept telling you, you do not have to come back. You don't have to come back. But now that I have you in the studio, I am glad that you are well.
And I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
It's better to be around people that you can talk to and just not have your mind just wandering.
Yeah. It's a blessing to have you on this program.
Thank you.
Yeah, you add a great perspective to Two-Way Talk. Folks, Eartha Harris is our next guest. She is the original co-convener of the Baltimore Local Organizing Committee of the Million Man March. The Million Man March is turning 26 years old. Can you imagine? It was 26 years ago that millions of black men and their supporters gathered in the United States Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And Eartha Harris, it is great to have you on Two-Way Talk.
Oh, I thank you. And it's great to be on Two-Way Talk, especially with you. You're talking about some history. Man, I get excited every time I think about how long we've been out there. And going. You know, we don't want to go back, and it's a good thing we're on the phone because you should have had one of them shows when we start showing pictures.
That's right. Because
we started showing ourselves when we were young and spring chickens.
That's right.
Life was good. Yes.
And interestingly enough, I covered you and the organizing committee for the Afro. I wrote the cover story on the Million Man March. It was in the Afro. It won several awards. And so we were excited. And I said, I have got to find Eartha Harris because you made it happen. And I'm not taking away from any of your other co-organizer or co-conveners, but you really kept this city on focus when it came to the Million Man March.
And you know why? Because one of the things that I'm also doing that you may not be aware of, I'm doing a documentary, and the documentary is called The Men of the March, but the subtitle is Before, During, and After. Because a lot of times, like you say, even when I look back and I hear the accolades that people give me and things, like you said, what made me be so passionate and so gun-ho about this whole Million Man March. And basically it started because I lived in the city of Baltimore and my mother had 10 kids. I went away to University of Maryland College Park. But when I was at College Park, I noticed not only me, but everybody was moving out the city. Everybody was trying to get away. So one of my passions when I came back to the city and I saw people like Bill Gooden and Charlie Duggar and Jabari and all of these guys out in the community, I really actually started getting involved then. Then, surprisingly, I got hooked up with Dr. Ben Chavis, who was at that time just became president of the NAACP. And guess what? I got hooked up with him because, like I said, I went to college, but I was one of them type of people. I like parties. I like to get out and dance. So my sister, she worked as an accounting there, and she called me and she said, hey, Ben Chavis' wife wants to go out and party. And I told her, I don't go out, but I have a sister. So I met up with...
Wow.
See, that's what I'm saying. So I met up with Mrs. Chavis, and she was actually from the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, one day we have to talk about the women of the march.
Yeah.
And for instance, she was one of those women. She was very spicy, and she was like always having a great time. So we became really good friends. Ben Chavis was already doing these summits around the country. They were called the National Leadership Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing it with a gentleman named Lou Andrews, who was well-connected with Sir John Douglas College. So with them being still in that activist mindset of already out there trying to organize communities with this National Leadership Summit, one of the invitations was for Minister Farrakhan to be a part.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when my eyes woke up and I found that the NAACP was Jewish run and not black owned. That just shows you how educated I was.
Mm-hmm.
So we know for a fact that the controversy of Ben Chavis linking up with Minister Farrakhan was one of the reasons that got him kicked out of the NAACP.
Mm.
So with Ben getting kicked out of the NAACP, already hooked up with the National Leadership Summit, they decided to carry on one of the visions that Minister Farrakhan had said when he came to the summit, was imagining if he showed a different picture of the black man, because even before 1995, we had a high rate of incarceration of black men.
Mm-hmm.
We had a high rate of single families. So the image that black men had was not a group of men that you looked at, oh, wow, these men are really going to come and turn the world around. So one of the things that I do every year is to encourage us to see an image. So that's why we do this ceremony and come out to the park.
So
with that story, like you said, we got Ben Chavis, Minister Farrakhan, then gets kicked out of the NAACP, hooks up with Farrakhan, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to, you know, do this vision. So meanwhile, in D.C., you had Marion Barry. So Marion Barry, he also was more of a militant-type guy because, again, they were like, there's no way you're going to do a million-man march in Washington, D.C. They would not even allow us to even have office space.
Mm.
So that's when Doc Cheatham comes in the picture. So Doc Cheatham, being part of a strong organization called the Phi Beta Sigma, he told Ben Chavis that the Phi Beta Sigma organization would go ahead and give them office space. But one of the criteria is Ben Chavis had to become a Phi Beta Sigma. So a lot of people don't know that. So Ben Chavis actually became a Phi Beta Sigma. And so we started meeting on Kennedy Street, and that was our main office.
Wow. So I want to tell our listeners, if you went to the Million Man March and want to share your memories of the march, just give us a call at 410-319-8888. That's the number to join the conversation. Our guest today is Eartha Harris, a co-convener of the Baltimore Local Organizing Committee of the Million Man March. Now, 410-319-8888, that's the number. Eartha, who were the other co-conveners of the committee in Baltimore?
Great that you asked that. So now when we're getting ready to organize, and like I said, before the march, Baltimore City was already doing some organizing things. So we came back because it was heavily heavily called by Minister Farrakhan. You had Carlos Muhammad from March number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Then because we had community activists, we hooked up with Reverend John Wright, which was at
that time. Wow.
He was even a he was the president of the National Convention of the Baptist Churches,
mm-hmm.
right? So then, of course, with every balance, they needed a woman. So we had Lisa Mitchell, because the Mitchell family was very prominent in Baltimore.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Still is, and was at the top. So you had that three balance of co-convener. Minister Carlos from March number 6. You had Reverend John Wright, the organizer of the biggest thing, churches,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the woman. So then when we met down at 940 Madison, we met every Tuesday, and we had a great structure where what they did, they created committees. Because just like anything, Anthony, you have to get the best of the best.
That's right.
So what they did, they created committees, and you could join the committees based on your skills. So you had the logistics committee, the communication committee, the outreach committee, the fundraising committee. So we had all of these committees, and they duplicated that LOCs all around the country. So we weren't the only LOCs, but that structure that they put in place was a structure that people had to understand. That's how you create a movement.
Mm.
Because you had people working on one cause. Everybody in every city just was working on that one cause to get people to the march.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I hope your phone lights up, because one of the passions that we all should have is that was a time that we all knew and saw what was brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say brewing, because the structure that we had in place was that all men were supposed to register for $10.
That's right.
And that's why we see that we have this controversy. They say, what happened to the money? I asked men that went to the march, well, how much would you have paid? Since you want to know what happened to the money when they put the barrels. And then people say, oh, well, it was priceless. Then let's stop talking about the money. But Minister Farrakhan did have a private auditor group, and they put out a report on what happened to the money.
Mm-hmm.
That march really cost over $5 million. They don't let you come to D.C. free in case.
That's right.
They want to know, you want pilot pots for those million people? You want police protection for those million people? You want this? So they put tabs on it when you call for organized march. So we did not have that type of money, and Minister Farrakhan was one of the people who actually put up the money for the march.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was only fair for his organizational structure was probably doing that as a way to get some of the money back that we had to pay for the march. So when people ask me the question about what happened to the money, what they did with the money, the first thing I want to know, for the people who went, how much would you have paid?
Mm-hmm.
Because we did not get that money. And then other thing I want to ask people is that won't we ask that with everything? Because a lot of people get money taken out their paychecks and don't even ask where that goes. So that shuts down questions.
Mm.
So now we're at the, like you said. And then, Anthony, so now, like you said, one of the things that I love, and you should really help me with this passion, we got to think that there's not a power higher than man. There's God. And people want to act like there ain't no God out here. There's God out here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you was present that day on Monday, and you saw that sunrise, and you saw a sea of men, and you saw this beautiful sunny day, and people just in love with each other, and all of the stories that people keep telling that came out of the Million Man March,
mm-hmm.
that was one day in our time. But, you know, we read the Bibles and we read the Quran, but, again, we weren't there. We kind of struggle. Is there? But that was one time that every man and woman that was involved knew that something was happening higher in a power other than what we mm-hmm. see as man-made. So mm-hmm. I think that's why we yell every day when we do this, long live the spirit of the Million Man March. So we won't get caught up in arguing and hating each other. And remember, the march was also, guys, about reconciliation and atonement.
Mm-hmm.
We know that sometimes, Anthony, that we have all of these judgmental things about each other, which causes us to have this separation that we do in the city, because we have a lot of great people in the city, but we have to admit that we have problems with each other. That's why people haven't seen the unity that they keep calling for. Unify. But we have to reconcile. We have to pray. We have to get on our knees and ask for forgiveness and stop thinking that we will, because we're not. And once we do that with each other and create structures like you're doing, I always love you because I think you are a great communicator. You are a type of person that we needed in our community because you're able to take all of this stuff that you see all of us doing and be able to put it in a form that we can inform people.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not informed and all we're doing is hollering and screaming and arguing and pointing fingers at the mayor and the president or whatever,
of course,
we're not going to get nothing done. And what you were saying to us even now, but if we get structure, if I can help you put this in a format, whether it's you being the great media and the communicator, also you're a great connector because you were a type of person, you was involved in everybody, politics,
yep.
community people. You were the ones that say, look, I see everybody's story, so let me mash it together like a chef, because you want to holler at the community activists, they can't solve all the problems. You want to holler at the politicians, they can't solve all the problems, the business people. So you was telling us way back then, but if you guys let someone put structure to that and we all find our peace, and
mm-hmm.
most people use the word, we all got to stay in our lane. So I'm excited that even 26 years later, that we know that we still have everything we need.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wellingham say, we all we got, we all we need.
Yep.
Now we all we got, we all we need. We got to really remember. That's why we got to reflect, Anthony. Don't rebuild on stuff. Let's go back and pick some of those components that we've been working hard on and we've been doing. And as we try to do them better, we do them better. I like the fact that you're on radio, because I always say that WEAA and WOLB should be the biggest media. We shouldn't even be looking at Channel 13 and Channel 11 and Channel 2, because we'll get confused about dissemination of the right information
mm-hmm.
if we're not still building the institutions that we have. We have WEAA. So I tell people, the reason why I listen all the time, because I'm not going to listen to those stations that's not out for the best interest of me. I got to go to my institutions that work hard to make sure that I'm connected to the resources. I'm a homeowner. I'm a business owner. You know, so I got all of that by listening to those institutions. So I'm excited.
I want to ask our listeners to call in. If you attended the march 26 years ago, what were the things that you remember about it? What was inspiring about that march? How did you get there? Did you travel from Baltimore? Did you get on one of the local organizing committee buses? I want to hear your story. I remember running around. I was on that bus, went to Washington, ran all over the place. I was traveling with Mayor Kurt Schmoak at the time and Danny Henson and his crew as I was interviewing everybody from Baltimore who were at the march on Washington, the Million Man March. I find it fascinating, 410-319-8888, a million or more black men came to Washington, D.C., did not storm the Capitol, did not demand change of the government. Preach. We demanded accountability, not only of the government, but of ourselves. Very, very different,
yes.
Different mindset than the right-wing Trumpers seem to have. And please don't call me about that. 410-319-8888. Hold on, Eartha. We have some callers. Dan, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'd like to just mention something, and that is I attended the Million Men March with a friend of mine from work at the time. We were in Baltimore. We both lived in the area of Baltimore. We took the train down together, went to the Million Men. We did not know what to expect, had no preconceived notions of anything. We were just very curious about everything. And essentially, we walked the entire mall from one end to the other, very, very leisurely, stopping along the way to see different activities of one type or another. Lots of people who were talking and voicing their opinions about different things, as well as the collective sort of programs that were going on with the, you know, with the sort of head speakers that were talking. My two greatest impacting memories, I'd say, of that were on the way down. As we approached either walking to or taking a cab or getting to the train station in Baltimore, there were small groups of African-American women of many ages, you know, from younger, you know, preteens and 20s to more mature women in small groups who were basically there in, you know, groups of two, three or four people just kind of spread out in different areas. Giving positive words of encouragement and almost like cheering in some cases, just as random groups of strangers, of black men they didn't even know, were approaching, and they kind of got a sense of, we know where you're headed, and giving sort of positive words of encouragement just constantly, all the entire morning. And then we got down there, you know, went to the activities. At the end of the day, the other thing that sticks in my mind is we got back to Union Station as we walked over there to take the train back to Baltimore. As we were in Union Station, there were many people who were trickling over from the mall and from that area who had attended the march. We were stopped by the security and the Amtrak and the MARC train people on the platform, pushed back to a certain area, and they allowed other patrons who were basically many of the people who were just perhaps not in attendance at the march. I don't know if they were or not, but just people that were going to work, largely of a non-African-American or white crowd, I should say, of people. They let them board the train further up in the cars, and then they allowed the people to get on the train. That was very, very, at first I was kind of puzzled, and then I was kind of getting upset by what I just seen. I was like, I can't believe that there was that level of fear amongst, you know, groups of people, you know, people in security, people with the train, with the train station, what have you, that they would have to think that they would do that. And I, all these things were running through my mind.
Wow.
That there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I had to rationalize a lot of things within my head to think that, no, these very same people that we came down who had nothing bad to say on our way there, and all of a sudden now they kind of categorize you much differently.
Isn't
even after
that
an
something?
Entire day of no
incidents, that's right.
You know, they're very, very puzzling. But all in all, it was a very encouraging and very good moment. I think that the main thing about it was that here you had the whole experience. Basically, you're heading down to an event that what is specifically drawing you to it. There's nothing to do with money or commercialism or that. They're basically drawing you to it as an African American. There's something that's for you. in a public space that you as a citizen who happens to be an African-American or is black are drawn to, of your own volition, you go to that, you're getting something from it, and you're returning, hopefully in some way, fulfilled or changed or enlightened or something. And you know, whatever your opinion is, but the whole time is that it's not something trying to sell to you, trying to put you in a box as, as the African Americans, the older men, the younger men, or what have you. It was just very that in itself was worth going, even if there was not anything in particular to go. Last things I'll say just are very quickly are I would have paid 10 or 20 or maybe even $50 or so to go. Mm-hmm. I think I would have.
Yep.
And then the other thing that I'll say is I think it was pretty amazing because there were a very, very minuscule amount of a couple of young African-American women here and there
mm-hmm.
who thought they would kind of go there expecting to be able to kind of cruise the crowd and kind of do those sort of, you know, spring breaky type,
uh-huh.
we're going to track some guys and do some things. And nobody was sort of, and they were not engaging in that. And they weren't being rude and turning those folks, those young people away. They were just not engaging in that and sort of trying to be, hey, we're here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of know what you're doing. We understand this. You know, target rich environment or whatever you want to say, but this is a different purpose that we're here for the day. So I thought
Dan, thank you so much.
Appreciate your
call. Thanks for sharing those stories. We have a bunch of folks who are calling in to share their stories about the Million Man March. Our guest today is Eartha Harris. She was a co-convener of the Baltimore Local Organizing Committee 26 years ago of the Million Man March. It's so hard to believe that it was that long ago. Now, I remember the dust up. I was a reporter then. I do remember Eartha, the dust up about Louis Farrakhan calling for this march. And a lot of people just put it in that light. There's going to be a lot of violence associated with the Nation of Islam. There was just so many things that were said about this march. What were your expectations? Did you anticipate that it would be successful?
Yes, because one of the reasons, like I said, that when I got involved, and I got involved from the national leadership perspective, so people heard about it, but they didn't see the work. So before we got to the mall, remember I told you, we were already going state to state organizing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people that you saw that came to the march, remember they were non-nation people.
Well, that's right.
So the non-nation people, with them already dialoguing about the agenda, the black agenda, the male agenda, they had a gentleman, his name was Ken Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
He got shot by the sniper, and he was real powerful before he got shot by the sniper. Before we got to the Million Man March, even in Baltimore, we were at the pastor, the big pastor, Reverend Reed's church. So the men met down there. So what people don't know is that they were already organizing men leaders before we got to the march.
Mm-hmm.
So when people was focusing on Farrakhan, it was because the media backfired. Remember, the march really became successful because the media also was trying to hold which comes with Farrakhan. Farrakhan would come on TV and shut them down every time. So they gave the people more information than ever about Farrakhan. See, you know how they say bad news can be good news. So what happened as we got closer to October the 16th,
mm-hmm.
when we saw registration, people weren't registering, people weren't paying the money. We didn't even have the money to pay for the march. But the media thought that they was going to use the opportunity to attack Minister Farrakhan. So they had him on Donahue and they had him on NBC. So more and more people were listening to Farrakhan. And then they said, wait a minute, this man is powerful.
That's right.
Then also, remember, which again, that's why I said we got to keep playing this story over and over again. He had all of the great leaders. He had Kurt Smoke.
He had everybody.
He had Reverend Sharpton there. He had Maya Angelou there.
Mm-hmm.
He had Snoop Doggy there. So then you have to understand that the march was just like we do in Baltimore. We have an event. We put all the powerful DJs together, so everybody had to come over here. So then the march went out and identified leaders that brought their people. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of the people that came to the march were also connected through the leadership, especially on Ben Chavis' side. He had people like Conrad Worrell and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were already connected. They bring in their people. So when you get to a march and you have organizations who's already bringing their people, you're going to have a million plus. Yeah. So that's why the media, that's why I said we got to have our own media. See, the media was focused on Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
The march was focused on solutions and opportunities. And again, that image of the black man was destroyed by time in 1995. So when we got there to the march, just like the brother said, and I love that he said he would have paid more, that spirit and that energy that when everybody's looking around like, I never seen these guys before. I didn't never see the person that says, mm-hmm. He's like, brother, that's okay. I never seen these people come together and they're not trying to exploit us or want money from us or mm-hmm. trying to sell us something, or nobody was running for election. He just had powerful speakers up there.
Eartha, so, we're going to try. Another thing Eartha, we're going to try to get another caller in before. Yes, and unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I want you to tell us.
Let me say this.
Stop. We'll promote the event when we get past this caller. And then I'll give you all the time you need, but we're running out of time. So I got to get this call. Ahead. And Dola, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hello.
Hey there.
So unfortunately, I was not able to make the Million Man March, but mm-hmm. I did want to make a comment.
Okay.
I was really moved by what Ms. Harris said about the unity across mm-hmm. denominations. It was an effective model, and I think we need to repeat that and look for this, you know, as a solution for what we're dealing with now in our community.
Mm.
And, you know, if we were to do another Million Man March, I definitely would join. But I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you, Indola.
Thank you.
Now, Eartha, there is an event tomorrow. We want everybody to show up, especially people who went to the march. Tell us about the event tomorrow.
Yes, because what I was saying to your callers, we do have a section tomorrow also. They can come and tell a story. So we want to make sure that people can express themselves, because this is so exciting that we got a million stories. Like Anthony said, we don't have enough time. But tomorrow, you come out 6 a.m. in the morning. We're right at Drew Hill at the Swan Avenue and Drew Hill Lake Drive entrance. That's over there by the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
We stay there 6 until the sun come up. It usually comes up around 7. We'll have ministers from all different type of faith. We'll have drummers to, again, create that spiritual peace that we need.
Mm.
Then we're going to go down to the garage, which is located at 6 East Lafayette.
That's right.
We're going to use that one location all day, so you can come there from 8 a.m. in the morning and have breakfast with us. It's just a small fee for the breakfast throughout the whole day till 12 a.m. at night, because we want to make sure, Anthony, like you said, sometimes we always rush in because we're in a structure.
That's right.
I love you. But we want the people to come and share your stories and share your solutions more than just share your stories.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people that's really doing some great things here in Baltimore. And this is once every year we can use this opportunity to connect. So when we're moving forward, we also not only see the picture that we saw in 1995, we help with the solutions, because a lot of people ask what came out of the march. All
mm-hmm.
of us came out of the march. So let's show ourselves. Let's show what we're doing.
Eartha, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Is there a place where people can go to get the schedule or what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, you can go on my social media.
Oh,
page.
Wonderful.
Facebook, I'm on social media. It's Eartha Harris, E-R-T-H-A Harris. And on Instagram, I'm on Eartha Harris Presents. And I'll put the schedule out there for you. Thank you so very much for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here and sharing your memories and your thoughts of the Million Man March, 26th anniversary tomorrow.
And I just want to mention, you can get those tickets on Eventbrite, too.
Oh, wonderful. For the breakfast.
And the documentary. And it's
and the garage is right around the corner from my house.
I know.
That's
it
right
is.
Here. I may go over there for breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice show. Nice being
nice,
back.
Great show. Great to have you back.
Thank you. Two-Way Talk is a production of WEAA 88.9, produced by Justina Pollard and engineered by Sean McBean. Stay tuned for the Morgan News Hour. Join Two-Way Talk Monday for another great conversation. Have a great weekend.